steady flow of pilgrims made its way toward the Gate of Benjamin, the northern gateway to the Temple of Solomon. Unnoticed among the throng of people, Barak said to his companion, "It is not too late. We can still turn back."
"I told you before, the Lord has called me to speak out. Now is the time. This is the place. You don't have to come with me if you don't want to."
Jeremiah's gaze did not lift from the dusty ground in front of him as they proceeded apace.
"I won't abandon you. I just don't want to see you end up like Uriah," Barak replied.
A tear escaped Jeremiah's eye and trickled down his wrinkled, sun-scorched face before being captured in the tangle of his beard. With his head bowed to hide his sadness, thoughts of his old friend Uriah flashed through Jeremiah's mind. From the start of Jehoiakim's reign in Jerusalem, they had both spoken out against the atrocities committed by this king, a man long suspected of having conspired with the Egyptians to gain the throne of his late father, King Josiah. Since ascending to the throne 3 years ago, Jehoiakim had prostituted the faith and sold Israel's soul in exchange for Egyptian riches. Uriah, older and more brash than Jeremiah, had gone into the valley of Ben-Hinnom during the first year of Jehoiakim's reign to deliver a withering proclamation against the king as he sacrificed to Dagon. Uriah had spoken out for all to hear his words at the foot of Topheth, their idol. And for that, Uriah had paid with his life. Never had any prophet been killed by the political powers of Israel before. But Uriah had. Indeed, Uriah had learned of Jehoiakim's plan to take his life and had fled to Egypt, but the king used his ties to Pharaoh to have Uriah taken prisoner and brought back to Jerusalem for execution. And Pashur, the first keeper of the door, had not said a word. Blinded by the profits from trade with the Egyptians, the temple priests would do everything to safeguard their position, including murder. And now, Jeremiah was about to follow in Uriah's footsteps. Would the Lord protect him as he went forward to proclaim what the voice of the Lord compelled him to speak? He said a silent prayer, ignoring the urge to turn and retrace his steps back across the viaduct over which he had just traversed. He looked at his friend and faithful servant, Barak, who at 42 was 2 years his senior. Barak had willingly followed him since their boyhood days growing up in Anathoth. It had been Barak's plan that Jeremiah's young teenage disciples, Daniel and Ezekiel, accompany them on this day.
"If you insist on going to the temple on this suicide mission, at least allow us to provide a plan of escape for you, God willing," he had said.
As usual, Jeremiah left those concerns to Barak. When the Lord prompted him to action, his only thoughts were the accomplishment of the task at hand.